Crackerhead V8. Welcome to Twerpcast, episode 18, Kitcast. Not to be confused with episode 15, Nightcast. That was about M. Night Shyamalan. This is about Michael Knight, or more specifically, Knight Rider and its various incarnations. I'd like to welcome my co-host, executive producer Jim Caswell. He is the Hugo of podcast producers in a Mustang world.
And sitting across from me today is Doug Zeitlin, chief campaigner for the independent presidential ticket of Dwight Schultz and Mr. T, A-Team in 08. Hoo-yah!
How do you know? I'm for Jesse Ventura. If you haven't guessed by now, today's episode of Torpcast is about Knight Rider. Welcome back to the airwaves!
Yes, he's a big enough geek that he has the Knight Rider theme song playing on his cell phone.
Yeah, what's your point?
We here at Twerpcast revel in our geekdom, which is kind of handy seeing that we call it Twerpcast.
For those younger members of our audience, Knight Rider is not just a made-for-TV movie that came out in February of 08. It actually was a television series that aired on NBC from 1982 to 1986.
Yeah, us old fogies, we remember that time well.
Despite the dementia that's setting in.
Back in the good old days.
Actually, that's a good place to start. In the good old boys.
Actually, that is a great place to start, because if there weren't a Dukes of Hazzard, there never would have been a Knight Rider.
The first commercial that really caught my attention was simply David Hasselhoff standing beside a 1982 black Trans Am. He just simply said, "Move over, Dukes of Hazzard. Knight Rider is coming."
Again, for those of you who are under the age of 20, no, the Dukes of Hazzard did not originally star Johnny Knoxville.
You know, it was such an incredibly failed attempt at turning a fun television series into a fun movie.
I have a slightly different point of view on it, because seeing Johnny Knoxville starring in a Dukes of Hazzard film, I thought for sure it was going to blow so badly that while it was still bad, it wasn't as bad as I expected, and therefore I enjoyed it.
I can give you two very good reasons to see that movie. Jessica Simpson. I mean, you don't need to turn on the volume, just watch her jiggle around the screen for an hour and a half.
So yeah, in the late 1970s, early 1980s, the Dukes of Hazzard ruled CBS by jumping over lakes and ravines and being chased by the cops.
Enos and Roscoe P. Coltrane!
So CBS had a winning show that starred two guys in a car that jumped things. NBC, not wanting to be outdone, wanted a show with a guy in a car that jumped over things. Hey, it worked for CBS. Why not us?
I really like how we get to the bottom of an issue. It really has nothing to do with ratings or anything. They just want that car that jumps over things. In the long run, I mean, that's pretty much what they got.
They went a lot more techno in the way of having booster jets and
ejection seats and bulletproof glass.
Unlike the Duke boys, Knight Rider didn't have to look for a convenient mud pile or stack of hay bales in order to make the jump. He just hit a button on the steering wheel and... And at least he didn't go, yee-haw!
Which is not to say that either of us actually didn't enjoy the Dukes of Hazzard. That's a really, really fun show.
And it lasted 8 years.
Despite a complete change of cast at one point...
They realized, oh, we can't do this without Bo and Luke Duke.
But what Glenn Larson did to kind of change the Dukes of Hazzard was he did the Lone Ranger with a car, whereas the Dukes were the rebels without a clue. We had the law-abiding citizen on Knight Rider.
In spite of the fact that Roscoe and Boss Hogg were completely morally bankrupt, thus making the Duke boys the heroes, Knight Rider was always a hero and was always working on the side of law and order and was recognized as such.
Even though they billed the shows as competition, and they did, they played them up against one another, it wasn't really truly a fair competition. The Dukes of Hazzard was always lighter in tone. It was more family-friendly show, whereas Knight Rider was always more action-oriented.
The best comparison I could think of is Dukes of Hazzard was a comic show, meaning comic as in humor. Knight Rider was a comic book show, meaning a hero that hid behind a mask and solved a crime.
It really was a pioneer in that area, because when most people thought of a superhero show, they thought of Adventures of Superman, Greatest American Hero even. The lead character dressing up in a pair of spandex and going out and flying and fighting crime. Knight Rider was a new brand of superhero, and one that was a lot more friendly to your average TV audience. He wore street clothes, he was a normal human being, but when it came right down to it, he was a superhero. It was followed very shortly after by the A-Team, which was also created by Glenn Larson, and it had multiple copycats, and even to this day, you can still see signs of it in shows like Heroes.
Absolutely. It was the leader in the 80s of the man and machine cop formula show. In varying degrees of brilliance and idiocy, many followed. There was Airwolf, Blue Thunder, who were helicopters. He had Street Hawk, which was the motorcycle gadget show. Viper, more car cop shows. He had The Highwaymen. I mean, there was an entire crop in this decade of man and machine shows.
Now, keep in mind that a lot of these shows that Doug rattled off didn't really make it that far. The most successful of them was Airwolf, and that one lasted 3 seasons on network TV, and then something that was called Airwolf that had a helicopter in it was over on syndication, but that was about all it had in common with the original show.
No, they used all the old special effects and stock footage, too.
Oh, okay. So they could do it on the cheap.
Exactly. I thought it was kind of brilliant. I mean, they did this syndicated show, and all they really had to do is bring in actors on a set, because all the outside shots were stock footage.
So us being the humongous geeks that we are, the superhero aspect of the show, of course, drew us in. But at the same time, we're still guys, and as guys, there was the car. It was a black Pontiac Firebird Trans Am, and this car became as much of a star as David Hasselhoff ever did.
I completely agree. The car was a character, and part of that is due to William Daniels' just spectacular voiceover work. I mean, he really did a good job of bringing this artificially intelligent car to being human. I know it's anthropomorphic, but it really was another character.
Kit would have been insulted by that comment, calling it human. So, you had the car, you had Mr. Cool. I mean, this was David Hasselhoff's first franchise. Again, without Knight Rider, there would never have been a Baywatch. Or at least, it would never have lasted as long as it did, because it got canceled after its first season. But David Hasselhoff had enough pull to go, you know what, let's shop this around to syndication. And it lasted, what, 300 years there?
That was just one of those cases that the network cut off its nose to spite its face. They canceled that show very fast, in a move that, personally, I agree with. However, from a financial point of view, was obviously a big mistake, because for many, many years, that was the highest-rated syndicated show in history. Worldwide, that had more viewers than any network television show.
So, no matter what you might say about the Hoff, he actually knows how to pick a franchise. He's done it 2.5 times already. Plus, he built a music career around it. I honestly don't think he's as talented as much as Lucky, but the luck has been working for him.
That works a lot. Look at people like Britney Spears.
Oops, I forgot my underwear again.
Yeah, that one.
And speaking of babes, Bonnie Barstow and April Curtis as the sexy mechanics immediately drew our attention as well.
To be honest, rather than sexist, when shows are targeted at a certain age group and a certain demographic, they add eye candy. That's the way television is produced. That doesn't mean that I think that they played these characters as stupid or as bimbos or anything like that.
They were literally rocket scientists.
Exactly.
So we've been talking about the things that drew us into the show. Was there anything for you that made you glad that it was getting canceled when it did?
It lost a little bit of spark from its initial years. It had become really just a formula.
The novelty had worn off.
It really had. And by the time it ended, there were already imitations. They were diluting the good stories. They were really stretching it in melodramatic terms. They were having to stretch for villains. They introduced first Carr, the night automated roving robot. And then they introduced Goliath, this massive behemoth of an 18-wheeler. And then they introduced Garth Knight, who was the original son of Knight. And when David Hasselhoff had plastic surgery in the first episode, the father decided to make him an exact duplicate of his rogue son.
Knight Rider definitely pushed the evil twin plot device to its extreme.
Or to use another euphemism, by the time season 4 rolled around, it had already jumped the shark.
For me, the breaking point was the introduction of the character RC3, who was the young, hip, African-American sidekick that was brought in to fix Kit after he'd gotten blown up. And he was supposed to be the young and hipness of the show, and just came across as being a really, really bad stereotype to the point of being insulting.
I would agree with that. If they had written his character honest, maybe it would have been better, but it was just, let's pick a stereotype and throw it in the show.
Then, as we said before, the motif to the show was the man and his car. Not the man, the car, and the guy who hangs around because, well, he did us a favor one time. Oh, and the spoilers that they attached to the car to try to make it look new and futuristic, and the emergency braking systems just made it look really bad.
You know, I didn't mind the fact that they altered the image of the car. There was the icon of the 1982 Trans Am, so they're trying to bring a little new life into the show. I didn't mind that, but well, it was incredibly bad comic book science to begin with. They just made even worse comic book science. They gave him some sort of super seatbelt called the laser restraint system. And to this day, I just can't imagine what a laser would do other than pierce your skin and send a hole, like, through your entire body.
Instead of making it one big piece for them to find in an accident, you've now divided it into 3 or 4 pieces and scattered it all over the car.
Or all over the highway, depending on what speed he was going. But that really is nitpicking.
So after 4 seasons, Knight Rider gets canceled.
But much like many of the other shows that we've discussed on TwerpCast, it did have a very strong, very reliable core audience. So it did not go gently into that good night.
As with any good money-making project, they did try to create a spin-off from the series in order to make more money. You know, why stick with CSI when you can do CSI Miami and CSI New York? Why stick with Law & Order when you can do Law & Order Criminal Investigations and Deathly Burn Unit or whatever they are?
Some of the spin-offs do very well. Love American Style spun off Happy Days. Happy Days spun off Laverne and Shirley and Mark and Mindy. And all those shows were incredibly popular.
Sometimes you come up with a good spin-off and it takes off and works.
And sometimes you come up with Code of Vengeance.
Code of Vengeance was David Dalton, a drifter traveling from town to town, trying to help people wherever he could. For all of about 5 towns, because the show only lasted for 5 episodes. But the character was introduced in Knight Rider, and so they were trying to make a spin-off.
I honestly don't remember the show at all, so it had no influence in my life whatsoever.
I'm about a half a step ahead of you. I remember its existence. I don't remember who played David Dalton. I suppose if I really cared, I could look it up. But the problem is that in the end, we really just don't care.
But then again, even a bad spinoff is not enough to keep a good show down. The fans were still out there. They still wanted more.
Until Knight Rider 2000.
David Hasselhoff had a successful franchise in Knight Rider. After Knight Rider, he had a successful franchise in Baywatch. And the fans were still clamoring for more Knight Rider. So, much like in 2008, they did a backdoor pilot, a 2-hour movie, Knight Rider 2000.
The plot behind this show was that Kit is now in a Bel Air as opposed to his classic Pontiac Firebird and has been retooled for a new driver. Sean McCormick is a cop who is involved in an accident. She's given a cybernetic implant that is built off of Kit's old specs, which gives her a semi-telepathic link with Kit itself. Michael Knight comes in to help the Knight Foundation one more time, just long enough to get Kit destroyed and then rebuilt into a Pontiac Banshee. And if you're already confused, that's okay. So are the viewers.
I gotta say, the Pontiac Banshee was an awesome look for the car. from that classic black Pontiac Trans Am to that really sleek red Banshee was awesome. That's my good thing to say about the show. It was weird, like, science fiction also. Even though it was only set, like, a couple of years in the future, the technology was really advanced.
It was far superior to anything that we've got even today, and probably anything that we'll have in the next 10 or 15 years.
Even though Knight Rider was set in the modern world, the Knight Industries 2000 was the only really super sophisticated, and it was supposed to be essentially a prototype. Whereas by the time Knight Rider 2000 came out, it looked like probably all the technology that the FLAG, Foundation for Law and Government, they must have disseminated it to the whole United States. It was science fiction, but it wasn't set in the future. It was an odd juxtaposition.
In spite of the fact that it was meant to be a backdoor pilot, it just didn't work. It wasn't what the fans were looking for. And like I said, the plot was really kind of convoluted.
Therefore, to make things a lot less confusing, they sold the rights to a syndicated network to make a series of TV movies out of called Knight Rider 2010.
Again, jumping a little bit into the future, into the year of Mad Max.
That's exactly what it was. It was basically like if you take the Mad Max cars, oh god, it didn't even have Kit. Essentially, they just took the name. They said, this is a Mad Max television show, but since we can't license the name Mad Max, we're going to license the name Knight Rider instead. And then there was this really convoluted plot of putting an artificial personality into the car. They had this character, Hannah, through convoluted reasons, downloaded her onto essentially a disc, and the car's computer had Hannah's personality on the disc.
You know, we could go into a lot more detail about Knight Rider 2010, but it was so bad, I'm tempted to just say it was bad and move on.
Still, better than Flash Gordon.
So, Knight Rider 2010 really did seem to be the last nail in the coffin. You really couldn't get much worse than that.
Unless you gave Glenn Larson enough money to do a new syndicated television show.
Oh wait, you can make it worse! Actually, to be completely fair, Team Knight Rider was not as bad as Knight Rider 2010, or even as bad as Knight Rider 2000.
I don't know.
It was bad, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't as bad.
I think it was. For what it was worth, I enjoyed Knight Rider 2010, in so much as I just ignored the fact that it had the name Knight Rider and I pretended it was Mad Max. Of its own little universe and its own little story, it was...
still bad.
It was bad, but almost passable entertainment. But Team Knight Rider essentially just ignored Code of Vengeance, Knight Rider 2000, and Knight Rider 2010, and said, okay, this is the one true sequel to Knight Rider, and for most of the season, we're going to completely ignore Michael Knight.
And Kit.
And we're just going to come up with a bunch of new cars and say that the Foundation for Law and Government now has 5 artificially intelligent cars.
And they're going to work as a team.
Not well as a team, but as a team.
Probably the worst part of that show for me was the twin motorcycles that, when needed, could bond together into one vehicle. And, oh, my head hurts just remembering it.
My favorite part of that is, when they were one vehicle, it looked like a car. There was this middle section that they could, like, put people in or equipment in. But then when they separated, that middle section just magically disappeared. Like it was teleported somewhere.
It was so bad that even the guest appearance of David Hasselhoff as Michael Knight in the season 1 cliffhanger was not enough to get it even renewed for 2 or 3 episodes. I mean, come on. Sledgehammer was able to get renewed for a couple of episodes with a twist cliffhanger.
The greatest cliffhanger ever.
So, Knight Rider 2000 fails. Knight Rider 2010 fails. Team Knight Rider fails.
And yet the show still has that strong fan base, and there's a writer strike.
When everything else fails during a writer strike, you can always dig back into the oldies but goodies. Now, it does help that they were thinking about doing a Knight Rider movie, so it was still kind of in the frontal lobes of the production companies already. But much like the writer strike back in the 80s, when you're desperate for material, you can look back and go, hey, let's redo something that is old and make it new again. Back then it was Mission Impossible. Now it's Knight Rider. Which brings us to the new series.
The pilot in February of 08 kind of reintroduces us to the concept and the characters of the show, while at the same time bringing in the new cast and really making them the forefront.
It is definitely a sequel. It is not a reimagining of the original series like Battlestar Galactica or Bionic Woman. This is a true sequel. They acknowledge that Michael Knight drove Kit, did the hero thing, and has since retired. And it's time for a next generation.
Bring in Michael Tracer. I didn't have a problem with Michael Tracer. I guess my biggest complaint was the show was kind of mediocre. It was no bad Knight Rider 2010, and it was no great Move Over Dukes of Hazzard, Here Comes the Knight Rider. It was just kind of there.
As we said earlier, Larson wanted to do the Lone Ranger with a car. Michael Knight had a cowboy mentality. He would ride into town on his Pontiac Firebird, find out what was going wrong, beat up on some bad guys, kiss a few girls, and ride off into the sunset. In a lot of ways, Michael Knight was very two-dimensional. And back in the 80s, we actually liked our heroes to be a bit two-dimensional. You didn't need to have a lot of angst involved and beating themselves up because of things that they did 20 years in their past. And at some point down the line of the series, we'll find out what exactly it was that they did. We didn't need that back then because we just wanted to see Michael Knight and Kit ride into town and beat up on some bad guys. Mike Tracer is a bit more angsty. He's got a history, he's got a past, and you can tell that he has trouble dealing with it some.
Well, for the original Knight Rider, that was one of its strengths and its weaknesses. It became a formula. You knew exactly what to expect from Michael Knight every episode. He was going to come into town, meet a girl, beat up the bad guy, and leave town. That was the formula. By the time season 4 ran around, you knew that he was going to come into town, he was going to meet the girl, he was going to beat the bad guys. That's the same thing we saw 4 years ago. So now you have the show that's still going to have some of the formula aspects. He's still going to be the hero. He's still going to have the talking car. But it's going to have a backstory. It's something to grow and develop over time.
Mike Tracer is Michael Knight's son from a one-night stand.
Given Mike's history, that's a perfectly natural occurrence.
The fact that there's only one is the shocker.
It's only one that we know about. Mike Tracer may have many half-brothers and sisters.
Hey, if this actor starts asking for too much money, we can meet more of his siblings.
Yeah, that worked so well in The Dukes of Hazzard.
And he's going to have a reoccurring girl. Mike Tracer has always been in love with Sarah Grayman, and, you know, it just so happens that her dad, Charles, is the guy who built the original Kit and has rebuilt a new Kit, and it puts him in constant vicinity of the girl that he loves, so he has a built-in love interest, so they don't have to have that part of the series where he meets a new girl.
And interestingly enough, the Knight Industries 2000 and the Knight Industries 3000 have the exact same initials, so they can still call the car Kit.
I don't think that was by accident. I thought it was slightly better than mediocre, but I'll use your term for the moment. It was a mediocre rendition of Knight Rider. It had a lot of talking heads going on. They'd get into Kit, and Kit would set out driving, and they'd sit and have a conversation for an hour and a half.
Yes. Radio is the theater of the mind. Television is a visual medium, and they did not impress upon the visual aspects. I mean, it was pretty clear that they did not go on the cheap for the special effects. The price that we as the audience paid is we got high-quality effects, just not many of them.
But in spite of that, it was still Knight Rider, and it was still the best Knight Rider that had come out since 1982-83. Added to that was the fact that it was at the end of the writer's strike, and people were starved for some original programming. So these two things put together equaled fantastic ratings for this two-hour backdoor pilot.
It was one of the highest rated two-hour movies in years.
Great ratings equals, let's greenlight this sucker and see how much money we can make. Now, I will give the producers credit in that they pulled off a major casting coup at the 11th hour. Up until about 2 weeks before the show's release, Will Arnett was scheduled to play the Knight Industries 3000. He had recorded the lines, it had all been cut together, it was ready to go. The problem was that Will Arnett had a contract with the Chevy Corporation. The new Kit is a Ford Mustang. Chevy basically said, nope, I'm sorry, you can't do it. Kit is going to obviously help Ford in their car sales, so we can't let you do this.
And GM's defense there, that two-hour backdoor pilot in February was also a two-hour commercial for the Ford Mustang. There was no bones about it. I mean, every commercial break had a Ford commercial in it.
I agree with you. I can completely understand where Chevy's coming from. You're our spokesman. We can't have you essentially being a spokesman for us and for Ford. It's a conflict of interest. So the producers sit down and try to figure out, okay, it's a hassle, but it's not something that we can't work around.
It's a hassle, Hoff.
It's not like they would have to refilm anything. They would just have to re-record sound. So they needed a strong, masculine voice that could carry being a character without the visual cues that an actor can use. They called Val Kilmer.
You're absolutely right. It was an incredible coup. He was just great.
I remember seeing the commercials with Will Arnett voicing Kit, and all I could conjure up in my head was the guy from Arrested Development. And I did not like Arrested Development. It was actually kind of a detriment that he was involved from my point of view. Then they get in Val Kilmer, Doc Holliday, Batman, John Morrison from The Doors. This was an actor whose voice could conjure up positive acting images.
I didn't watch Arrested Development, didn't hate it, didn't love it. It's incredibly popular, so I think a lot of people would disagree with you on that.
A lot of critics would disagree with me on that. Its ratings were never that high.
It was a niche show. It has a huge following. It has as huge a following as the original Knight Rider had, and much more so than Team Knight Rider.
So we have Mike Tracer. We have a new ensemble of supporting characters. We have Val Kilmer as the new Kit. And we have Knight Rider back on the air as a television series. It premieres on NBC September 24th. Some of the things that I've heard reported that are going to be in the new show that I'm really kind of looking forward to is they are bringing back the Turbo Boost and the fun toys. We will get to see Kit launching itself through the air again. It's not going to be a Talking Heads show. They have realized that Knight Rider is an action series, so there will be action involved.
It's not Night Sleeper.
Like I said, Tracer has a built-in love interest. There aren't going to be any more one-night stands, the girl in every port mentality. But honestly, in this day and age, the somewhat committed relationship between one guy and one woman without doing the constant one-night stands thing is actually a bit more politically correct. You know, at least we don't have to worry about the episode where Mike Tracer has to go in for an AIDS test. I guess in the end, we have to ask ourselves, do we think that the new Knight Rider is going to last longer than Team Knight Rider, which at least got a season out of it?
I wouldn't be surprised to see it go a couple of seasons. I think the time is right. I think they can make it a flagship show. I think that it's the right concept at the right time.
I would agree with you, except for the fact that we thought the exact same thing last year about Bionic Woman.
Writer strike. That killed it.
This is true, but now that the writer's strike is over, are they going to go, okay, well, that filled a hole for 13 weeks, let's move on?
Could happen.
I hope not. I hope that it's as good as the original and can have at least as long of a lifespan. In the end, only time is going to be able to tell. Hopefully, next year when we do another fall cast, we can say, see, we told you so, as opposed to...
Oh, call that wrong. Well, thank you so much for listening again today. As always, we encourage your feedback. Please write Jim at twerponline.net.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions. Copyright 2008.